The Feast of Tabernacles, let's talk about it. What does it mean? Well, it comes from a Hebrew word, tabernacle, sukkot, and it means booths, building a booth. In the old times, they went out and they took a little brush they could get their hands on, special kind, of course. But what does that mean to you today? After Christ was born in Bethlehem, after he paid the price for our sins, what does it mean to you today? Well, the answer is simple. Go to God's Word and find out. Open your Bibles with me to St. John chapter 7. Incidentally, Feast of Tabernacles was the date of Christ's birth. That's the day God gifted mankind with the Spirit of God. He was born on the first day, and he was circumcised on the eighth day of the feast. So naturally, it's an important feast in as much as, well, we even kind of change our calendar by that. We say this is 1995 A.D., which is, which A.D. being Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. So it changed everything. For those that listened and focused on his word, it turned it from right upside down to right side up. Some still choose today to look at it upside down. So it's up to you. It really is. Remember, always focus on your Father's word. Okay, let's open our Bibles to St. John chapter 7, and let's see what the Lord taught about the Feast of Tabernacles. And it begins, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry," which is to say the Judea properly translated. He wouldn't walk there. Why? Because the Jews sought to kill him, meaning the Kenites that called themselves of our brother Judah sought to kill him. It wasn't safe there for the average person. But there's a great deal more to it than that. Listen carefully. Verse 2. "Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand." This is to say, another mistranslation, the tabernacle of Israelites. The Feast of Tabernacles set by all 12 tribes, not just our brother Judah. But I feel the reason that this translation carried is because the Kenites had so, as Jesus himself would say in Matthew 23, the scribes and Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. What was Moses? The lawgiver. They'd kind of taken it over. So, what did Jesus do? Did he want to rush right down there because it was custom and attend the feast? Well, let's find out. "His brethren," verse 3, "his brethren are his people, therefore said unto him, depart thence." Hey, leave Galilee and go into Judea, that thy disciples, your students there, also may see the works that thou doest. They'd seen the miracles, but there's doubt in that. They just could not bring themselves to accept him as Yeshua. Verse 4. "For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly." In other words, if you're supposed to be the Messiah, you need to get it advertised. You need to become famous. "If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." Verse 5, their reasoning, "For neither, not even, did his brethren believe in him." Boy, stop and think about that. They saw the miracles, but not even his brethren. Now, this is not necessarily the 12 he chose. This is family, friends, neighbors, the whole bunch. All right? So, what does that say to you? People won't believe miracles. It excites them. It turns them on for a little bit. It gets their attention. But if they're not focused on God's Word, it's a short-lived thing in their life. If they're not grounded in the Word of God. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, My time, important, listen, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Do you realize that? What does that mean? Your time. Anytime. Anytime you're ready. Think about it. Well, we're talking about tabernacles is what we're talking about, so don't lose your focus on that either. The world, verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. In other words, to the brethren and the non-believers, you don't have to worry. They're not trying to kill you. Why? You're a do-nothing. You don't say anything that tries to make the world a different place. You're a nobody. Now, that's putting it a little blunter than he did, but hey, if the world loves you, you better stop and check your oil. All right, you might have filled up with the wrong brand or something, okay? Because I guarantee you one thing. You know how we teach the Word of God here, chapter by chapter and verse by verse? You should see some of the calls we get from the world, and it's not a pretty picture many times. So if the world loves you, you better take inventory, friend. That's what the Father is telling you here through the Son. Verse 8, Go ye up unto this feast. You go on down there to the Feast of Tabernacles. I go not up yet, until this feast, for my time is not yet full come. My time is not filled. Now think on these things. There's a deeper meaning. Verse 9, When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. What's abode? It means to live, to tabernacle, to stay. Meno in the Greek. The prime word, one of the prime words issued with mansions, tabernacle. He stayed there. Verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. In other words, he knew they were looking for him, and had he walked in with a bunch of people following him, which they would have been, and making over him, he would have been real easy to spot, right? So they all just kind of slipped into town. They kind of all slipped into Dodge there, all right? Nothing new under the sun. Verse 11. Then the Jews, this is to say the Kenites, quite frankly, that claimed to be of our brother Judas, sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? He's not going to miss it. We know he's going to be here. Where is he? Now, these are good religious folks. But what's in their heart? What's inside those filthy bodies? Murder. That's why they want to spot him. They want to kill him. Really following the law, thou shalt do no murder. But that's the religious community. Hey, you get somebody that's got something on the ball and the religious community will try to eat you alive. You're not exactly a popular person with them. And that's not to say that we can't get along with them. They just don't know any better. All right, many of them. Some of them do. Praise God. 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He's a good man. Others said, Nay, no way. But he deceiveth the people. He's misleading them. He's tricking them. Religious jealousy. 13. Howbeit, or however, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews, for fear of those Kenites. Spoke openly, they may put their hands on you, throw the cuffs on, throw them away. Get rid of them. It's not easy to make a stand sometimes in reality. It's far easier to move along with the flow. But you want to focus yourself And when God singles you out, be singled out. Be used of your Father, because after all, aren't you His servant? God's servants don't go along with the world necessarily, only to our benefit to further His word. We're in the world, so naturally, we wear the same clothes they do, basically. Well, we might take exceptions to some of that, be that as it may. That might be a little too open-ended. But anyway, 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. What's the midst of the week? Well, a week is 7 days. In the midst is what? 3.5. Wonder if he was trying to tell us something about 3.5 and 3.5, the middle of the week. Middle of the week, something might happen. And I would tell you, if you took this whole feast and this particular one, this day, as the 7 days of this earth age, including millennium, you probably would see a lot deeper into what Jesus is telling you here. About the middle of the week. Well, if we add the 8th day of the feast to it, the day that he was circumcised, well, about the middle of it, you'd actually come to about the time he appeared on earth, a little after that, if you were to break the week down. Okay, be that as it may. I don't want you to read too much into it. I just wanted you to be, aware. Okay? He went there and he taught. Now, that's not like doing something in secret. He went right into the church, main church, downtown. 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" In other words, you were in the class of 59 down at the university there of little Jerusalem. I didn't see him there, did you? Was he in your class? He never attended our school. He didn't attend our university. It's a good thing he didn't, because they'd turned it upside down. You wouldn't have learned anything there anyway concerning the truth. But he spoke the truth because he was the living word. And it shook them up, because he could quote the manuscripts. He could teach from those manuscripts, and a real teacher can document what he teaches or what she teaches. No step for a stepper. It's easily done, because it's all the simplicity in which Christ taught, and it flows like honey over the buds of the minds of people when they're taught from the Word, focused upon it, whereby they're not deceived. 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." Now, that'll give them something to think about for a moment. 17, "If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." All you got to do is get into the Word and see if it is the Word of God or if it's some traditions of men. 18. "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." He's trying to make a name for himself or a ministry for himself, not God. "But he that seeketh his glory," that's to say Father's glory, "that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him," not in that doctrine. 19. "Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law." He's laying it out to, that's the way to make friends and influence people right there, okay? Just simply tell them, you don't know what you're doing. From your school, you know absolutely nothing about the Father's Word. "Why go ye about to kill me?" In other words, the law says don't murder, but in your heart you want to kill me. Where are you coming from? Which that's documented, but it's kind of hard for some people to take, okay? Verse 20. "The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" lying bunch of hypocrites. They knew, they were setting up traps for him, and then they lie boldly like that, and don't think they won't. Right to your face. 21. How did he handle it? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Now many wonder, which one is he talking about? I feel it is the one where the old boy had his pallet down by the pool. First one into the pool gets healed. And there was a mob of them there. This old boy couldn't even walk hardly. And he didn't have a man to carry him down there into the pool. And Jesus came up and said, take up your bed and walk. Do you know what day it was? It was the Sabbath. Do you know what happens to you if you're caught carrying your little old... Do you know what a pallet is? That's what a bed was back then, okay? With his bed pallet rolled up under his arm, you don't do work on the Sabbath, all right? It didn't matter that the old boy was practically paralyzed and is able now to carry that bed. It was against their law. And yet it was the law itself, Jesus Christ, the living Word, that told him, pick it up and walk. So which is legal? Think about it. 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. I feel that was the work he was talking about. 21, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision. Bear in mind, on the eighth day of this feast, Christ himself would be circumcised. Not this particular one, but one at his birth, all right? Your companion Bibles have an entire appendix documenting that. Should be to your satisfaction. If it isn't, hey, no problem. Not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye, on the Sabbath day, circumcise a man. You don't heal him. You don't tell him to pick up his bed and walk. But you do circumcise him. And not only that, but that's one of the high Sabbaths. All right? Verse 23. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, you might insert in the word why in your mind, why are ye angry at me? Because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day. I mean, that's something to rejoice. That can't be bad news to anybody, I wouldn't think. But it was to them, which means what? They were out of step. Unfocused. My friends, never has there been a generation where it's more important that you stay focused on your Father's Word and what it is He wills of you. Or you're not a servant. You can't serve when you don't know what to do. You'll be like this bunch, misled, and never where you're supposed to be. 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That simply means be just. Use common sense. Use your head. If the poor man, if you have the authority as Christ did to heal him, I don't care if it's a Sabbath, heal him. And then tell him, pick up that thing and walk. Because he couldn't do that before. Naturally, they're going to say, but he broke our law. That's it. Their law, not our Father's. All right? Sabbath was made for man. What does Sabbath mean? It means rest. I get a lot of rest out of seeing somebody healed. I get a lot of rest out of Christ's Word and His comfort, for He is my rest. He is my Sabbath. And I don't care what the day. It's a beautiful day in Him. Verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this He? Hey, that's Him whom they seek to kill. Now they're admitting it. I mean, it's advertised even. Not just those jokers, but it's advertised. They're a bunch of murderers. But in the name of religion, it's okay. It's all right to kill Him. people will, you listen to a squirrel and you'll get to where you'll believe anything because you're desensitized to the focus on God's word as to what justice is. 26. But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? They're not giving him a hard time. Does that mean that the leaders are allowing this? Have they changed their minds? You see, it's real easy to sway a crowd with truth, to put a little doubt. This was a divine intervention by God that they wouldn't say anything. Because the real word of God, very few people dare resist the boldness of this word when it is taught properly. 27. Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Now this is really another good reason to be focused, because this was traditions of men, not God's word. The tradition was that he would appear in Bethlehem. That's documented. That's good. But then that he would go hide himself. He would go hide himself and stay hidden. But that wasn't the teaching of God. That was the teaching of this good brother and that good brother. It's church, synagogue record. No big deal. You can read it for yourself. I'm not too sure that the Companion Bible doesn't even mention that. I'm pretty sure it does. But that's what they're talking about. What is my point? Don't get caught up in traditions of men. This is the word. This is what you focus on. Not what some man says without checking him out in it. Or you're going to end up way short, friend. Way short. 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know whence I came. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. For, again, that's the way to win friends and influence people. I mean, we're talking to the religious community here, and we tell them, you don't even know God. It's gonna make their blood boil a little bit. The hair's going to stand up on their neck. And if there's any anger in them, probably it's going to pop out there too. But it's still truth. And God protects those that bring forth truth. Verse 29. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Now on this tabernacle thing, which means a house, if you're going to live with somebody, you should know him pretty good. You should know him. If he's going to tabernacle in your body, I would hope that in your mind you would want his word, not a bunch of junk and garbage that some group of people worked up as traditions. Quite frankly, he won't live with you, friend. He won't tabernacle with you. You're out. Ignorant. Looking for sensationalism. When you had the most exciting thing in the world in your hand, the ability to know him and live with him, in him, and he in you, tabernacling as it's meant to be from the word of God. I don't know. It's up to you. Do you know him? Do you have traditions or have you shed them? Do you focus on the word or do you listen to squirrels? Am I a squirrel? Well, if you haven't checked me out in the Word, you don't know for sure that I'm not. What I'm saying is get in His Word and focus on it and find out for yourself. All right? Well, how do I tell? If it's not in here, it's a squirrel. Okay? I don't care how many nuts it stores to hibernate on and crack. It's a squirrel if it can't be found in God's Word documented. And you can get hurt. One thing, God will cease living with you, tabernacling with you. because he doesn't like, he loves little squirrels that gather the right kind of nuts, but not fruity tooty nuts in the head, all right, that'll listen to anything that comes along and say, oh my, I've never heard that before. That's exciting. If you haven't heard it before, it's just possible it isn't in here. And you're skating on thin ice, just about to break through the crust and go into a frigid stream. And God ain't going with you, friend, if you don't stay in His Word. Tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacles. How you doing so far? Let's go with it. Okay, 30. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. It's good to remember that. His hour was not yet come. Has it now? Do we know? Well, I don't know. Let's look at it a little bit. 31. And many of the people believed on him. That was his purpose. There would be some that would have ears, and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? Hey, it's pretty convincing to me, is what they stated. 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured. Now, I mean, you got to look at this. I mean, if you're running a church the way most people run one, and there's somebody stirring up a religious mess, and I mean, after all, look how much we have to beg to keep the tithes coming in anyway. We have to just really beat them almost to get them to take up to, well, they've managed to take up the collections. I'm glad to say I've never, 40-something years, I've never passed a hat. Some people, they say, do something religious, and that's the first thing they do is pass a hat, right? But this is stirring up their group, you know. Hey, that's serious business. Real serious. If the people are going to scatter from them, then they'll have to go to work. My, what a terrible thing that would be. All right? So, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. They're beginning to believe him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. For what reason? To murder him. No other reason. 33. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you. And then, listen very carefully, my friend, and then I go unto him that sent me. 34. Ye shall seek me, and shall not, I repeat, not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Now, who was he talking to? Who did he address that to? It's important that you remember. The Pharisees that stated those things, that were looking for him. He said, you can't come. In other words, if you don't focus on God's Word, and you fall off as these people have, you won't find him, and you can't go where he is. We're talking about tabernacles again, okay? Hello? You can't live with him if you don't focus on his Word, if you don't know where he went, if you don't know how to tabernacle with him. That's what the feast is about. They couldn't cut it, all right? He snipped, cut them off. Verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, that's to say the Kenites claiming to be our brother Jude, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Question. I mean, we're looking for him to kill him. Where's he going to hide at this time? You see, they're just bottomed out, ground zero. They don't know that he's talking spiritual here. And they're spiritual people, supposedly. They probably did all kinds of holy things, like ringing bells and sprinkling water and all those good little things. I mean, you couldn't have seen a better act placed before the people. Whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Will he go to the 10 tribes dispersed? Could that be what he's talking about? One of the other guarantees spoken by the Pharisees themselves, they knew where the 10 tribes had gone. 36. What manner of saying is this that he said? You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. What kind of a riddle is that? They would never know. because they weren't focused. 37. In the last day, mark it in your mind, in the last day, and this would be the day that Christ was circumcised, in the last, in his first feast, not this one, I repeat, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. 38. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture, as what? What is the subject here? As the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What did he mean by that? He's quoting a Scripture. Can you focus on it? I think we'd better. I really think we'd better. Because if you don't, you'll never understand totally what Christ is teaching if you don't go to the source, and that's to say the Scripture. And we find that in Isaiah chapter 12. Just hold your place there, and we're just going to make a little side trip here. I would just say it, but I would prefer to read it at this time. I think because this is Feast of Tabernacles, that's why we're here, that I should read it. You'll find it in the third verse. While you're turning there, I'm going to read all of it. Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Yahweh is my strength. You don't have any other friend. My strength, my song. He also has become my salvation. When did he become that? When Yahshua, Yahweh's Savior, meaning Jesus, that's what the word means, walked this earth. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water, draw what? Draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's what he was talking about. They were all thirsty because it was the Sabbath and at the end of a long season and they couldn't draw water. That's probably what they thought he was talking about. Because they no doubt were thirsty on that particular day. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Is it? Well, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. And this is where he was when those words were spoken. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Midst of thee. He's in our midst today. He really is. So there was a time frame even within that. You can have that water. Your time is always. If you focus, so easy to be distracted. I want to watch this real close and let any little thing over here start happening. That's the way the mind can do if you're not careful. All right? Now, I'm not saying that you're to become a religious fanatic. I'm just saying settle it in your mind once and for all. It is written, and that's the way it's going to happen. It's all here if we have the faith and the focus to bring it out. Back to the book of John. And he continues to teach. Verse 39 in that seventh chapter. But this spake he of the Spirit. That's why they couldn't hear him. Which they that believed on him should receive. Little time down the road. For the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, was not yet given. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet paid the price. But after all, this was the Feast of Tabernacles, and he had a message for this day. 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Well, Prophet Elijah, Prophet Elisha, and some others said, this is the Christ. That's to say, the Anointed One. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Now, they knew it was written that he would come out of Bethlehem, All right? 42. Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? And yes, it does. Micah 5:2. 43. But see, he was born at Bethlehem. They just didn't know it. Why? They weren't focused. They didn't care enough to research a little bit. 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. I don't suppose any of you in a religious group have ever heard of a division, have you? Division, divide, and conquer. All right? Not if you're focused. Nobody can conquer you. Not the devil himself. 43. So I'm sorry, we got that, didn't we? 44. And some of them would have taken him, but no man, not one, laid a hand on him. Do you know why? You should. God protects his own. They couldn't because of divine intervention. There is never a coward like an enemy of God when he thinks, there are some that believe here now, and if I open my mouth, they're going to be on my case like ticks on a hound dog. And usually they are, too, you know, if they're good people. All right? And they don't like that. They would rather, through the spirit of doubt, create illusions among the nuts that are not focused on God's Word. 45. Then came, and I'm being kind to our people. You know what I mean by nuts that they get, they usually can get. You usually always have a small group that'll listen to anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Just something to listen to. Doesn't have anything to do necessarily with the Word of God. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm just talking about people that will sway to any wind, which means spirit. And we're talking spirit here. God protects his own. 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. Remember, they had sent them out and say, go get him. And they said unto them, why have you not brought him? Do you know what they said back? There were 40s. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. 47. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? You see, that business of staying focused works both ways. Are you not focused on our plan? It was to bring him here and kill him. Now, the individual has to discern. Is it God's way? Or is this wrong? Murder is wrong, my friend. Because you've taken the life of one of God's children, and you're going to have to face God. That's just like, maybe I don't like to use this, but I will now that I've started. Let's say that someone has a precious child, and somebody murders that child, and the first thing you're going to do is face that father. And he's got a .357 Magnum waiting for you. Guess what? What are your chances? Well, to murder somebody is murdering a child of God. Even if it is your own life, it's murdering a child of God. Not good odds, my friend. You're going to have a very angry father involved here. That's what they're wanting to do, is to not only murder a child of God, but the only begotten. 48. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? This is your little spy network called Internet. Anybody heard that one of the chief rulers really, you know, would believe upon him? Because he's fixing to say, this bunch of nuts will listen to anything. How about the sharp boys? Any of them believe? 49. But this people, meaning stupid, who knoweth not the law are cursed. They would believe anything you told them. That's the Pharisees' opinion in that case. 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, he believed. All right? 51. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him? Now, this is common sense. Does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Question. The answer to that is, of course not. But they've already got the rope, friend, and the cross. 52. They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. You see how stupid they were? I mean, that is the height of stupidity. What about Jonah? What about Amos? What about, most likely, Elijah and Elisha, the prophet of prophets? They came from there. Hosea, which means salvation, he came from there. So, what can you say about these scholars? The Marine Corps had a real good word for it. They don't know nothing. Beans, I think it was. They don't know beans. I think that's what it was. I've been out so many years, I can't quite remember. Okay? But that's what a lot of your scholars are. I mean, the idiots. The height of stupidity. Say, check the scriptures, and you won't find it. How many people would tuck their heads and just walk away? Because they don't know the scriptures either. They're not focused. Focus on your Father's Word. It's important. And you're in a generation where it's going to get a lot more important. 53, and every man went into his own house. Hey, they couldn't handle that. In closing, turn to the 14th chapter of St. John. Feast of Tabernacles. That word tabernacles in the Greek is interesting because it's really made up of two Greek words as we covered there in that 7th chapter. I'll just talk while you're turning there. It's made up of two Greek words, and one of them is to fix or to build, and the other word is a hut or a booth. So it's the same secuth, only the verb is there, fix it. And I really love that in the Greek. Because how do you fix it? According to the written word, all right? Chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. That means don't worry, my friend. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you know what this is? It's huts, buildings, dwellings, menial, which is the same prime of one of the words I told you in tabernacles that means hut. All right? Think. He went to build you a hut.
Well, I was thinking about a mansion for me.
Well, sorry. It is really, if you look at it right in the Spirit. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to fix it. How's the Feast of Tabernacles doing with you, friend? Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, to abide, to live in. 4. And whither I go, ye know. Now listen to this. Who's he talking to this time? His disciples. Where I go, ye know. He just got through telling them. And the way you know. Why would they know? Because they can go. That other group, he said, ain't no way, friend. Forget it. You can't find me. You don't know where I'm going, and you can't come there. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Poor old Tom. Nothing personal in this. Of course, if there's any Toms in here, I just happen to think of one. He's not a doubter. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, listen carefully, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the path. That's the trail. That's the focus. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And then he continues. I'm going to pick it up in the 9th verse, the words of Jesus. Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Skipping to 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Skip to 15. If you love me, this is your Christ-given Feast of Tabernacles. If you love me, keep my commandments, focus on them, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. That, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And he may abide with you forever. Do you know what that word abide is? It's to live with, hut, to be in, to tabernacle with. Do you understand now why he would say, it's not my time yet, but yours always? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and ye shall be in me. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. That promise was kept on Pentecost Day. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. That's what he told the boys, wasn't it, the Pharisees? But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Has he manifested himself to you with the presence of the Spirit? Of course he has. That's why you follow him. That's why you focus upon him. Verse 23, Jesus answering them then, and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will focus upon them. And my Father will love him, and we, underline that, that's the Father and the Son, will come unto him and make our abode with him. Our tabernacle. So what was Jesus telling us about the feast? The Feast of Tabernacles. He made you one. He fixed it. He fixed you a tabernacle. The old tabernacle, wasn't that important? Yes, it was. It was our school teacher. But you have a brand new shiny building now. It is a mansion. In a sense, it relates to your body that he dwells in. You are to take care of it. I know we all fall short. But we tabernacle also in him, in the family. That is our tabernacle, and it is a fantastic feast. For he will be with us forever when we focus upon his word. What happened to those that did not focus upon the Word? You can't come in. You don't know where I'm going, so therefore, you can't come there. Now, that may sound like a simple line, but it was not really the everyday average thing for somebody to pop off to heaven at that time. Defeat death. You got what I mean? I mean, that was a pretty big step. Was to go there. That's why they couldn't reach it up here. But he paved that way. We know where he went. And we know when he came, returned, and we know that he is with us when he chooses to be, which is always if you're doing his work as a servant of his, or in your daily life as planting seeds or just doing your job. He dwells in you. He tabernacles with you. I am so glad that we are Christians that are of the day, and it's all one day for us. We have Him every day. We don't just wait till the Sabbath and have Him. We have Him every day, for with us there is no night. And in that, He tabernacles with us in our Sukkot forever. It's a blessed thing. It really is. I thank our Father for His Word. Focus upon it. We draw so much from His Word.